Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I started something here, so I probably should finish it. G-O-W equals G-O-W. God's ordained way equals, what's on this side? Close. God's way. Now, what goes here? Could be. That would work, but that's not the word I'm looking for. Good, very good. One way, only way, good. Hallelujah. Pardon me? Own way, amen. Good, good. Very good. Keep going. I didn't know how many words that would fit there started with O, but I'm still looking for one in particular. And those are all right, by the way. That's a good one. Amen. It is God's overcoming way. Hallelujah. But it is God's one accord way. Absolutely. It is original with God. Hallelujah. Amen. How about organic? God's organic way. Amen. Hallelujah. So God's ordained way is God's organic way. You know, the way that the Lord has, you know, shown in the last number of years to practice the church life, ordained in the Scripture, very organic. Hallelujah. So the Lord has an organic way to practice the church life that He ordained. And basically, what we're going to cover in this session is where it's practiced, and that's in the homes. You know, if you look at the at your outline there, point one, the warm atmosphere of the saints' homes as a new place chosen by the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. You know, the practice of the believers or the Lord's people in the Old Testament was not in the homes. It was in the temple. But in the New Testament, when the new way, amen, hallelujah, is in the homes. Amen. That's why you have these verses. Acts 2:46, house to house. Amen. Acts 5:42 again says house to house. Amen. Acts 20:20, house to house. Acts 12:12, when Peter, when he got released from prison, where did he go? He went to the house of Mary, where they were praying. So the Bible is very clear. Much of the practice of the New Testament was in the homes. And because it's a very sweet place, a very normal place to have the church life. And it was done daily. And there was teaching with prayer, so there was much activity going on in the homes of the saints. And the Lord has done this really among the churches in this day and age, that more and more the church life is being in the homes. Our brother Lee mentioned that maybe 80% of the church life should be in the homes. And being in a locality with a lot of homes right around the campus, I can say, literally, it is that way. There's very little that goes on in the big meetings. It is all going on in the homes. And as Marty mentioned earlier, appointments are going on all the time among all the saints. Every once in a while, I'm with someone, and they'll say, oh, we're having, you know, I'm talking about now family members, not full-timers, family members saying, I'm having appointments with this person or that person. I thought, oh, wow, amazing. I didn't know that was going on. And one situation with one person recently, the number of persons have been praying for, we come to find out she had been fellowshipping with many saints, and it all came together in a very marvelous way, and we had no idea how many different saints this one was fellowshipping with in multiple home meetings, and with one serving part-time, serving full-time, But there was a lot of cross fellowship going on. And I'm being intentionally vague about the situation, so you won't be able to figure it out. But it was just came together in a marvelous way. And so the Lord really has done a lot. And so let's look at point two here on the outline. In intimate small groups, not large congregations, even with two or three, having the Lord's presence. You know, even with two or three. So now the home meetings, typically, and I'm going to take this off now. You know, in the four steps that we fellowshiped about, beginning, nourishing, perfecting, and building. My mind was running from nourishing to cherishing. Begetting, obviously, that can happen in many places. And we've seen, and this should be happening, there should be a lot of begetting going on in the homes. You invite ones over to the homes, and they're born again. We had one Friday night home meeting where two persons got saved. The next day, someone got saved in someone's apartment. Monday night at a dinner, someone else got saved. And the beginning should be happening in the homes. This nourishing that's going on here. Now, this is interesting. This nourishing, the next step, can happen in the saints' homes, or the homes of the new believers. You know, when we were in Taiwan in 1986, door knocking. We door knock, then you go back and try to nourish them in their homes. So begetting and then nourishing initially oftentimes is in the home of the new believer. So we have some that are actually started door knocking in the dormitories to have, again, to be in their home. Their home happens to be the dormitory. Or we're going to their apartments, the apartments of the new ones. So don't, when you think homes, my point here is don't be limited to, it has to be our homes. We need to be going, you know, especially in this nourishing stage, we have to nourish them wherever we can find them, wherever we can reach them. If we reach them in their home, we go to their home. If we reach them in a coffee shop, we go to a coffee shop. If they come to our home, we reach them in our home. But wherever we can reach them, we need to be going to where they are. Because they're not necessarily ready to come where we are. So we need to go where they are. Then the perfecting, this is more commonly what we know as our home meetings, our group meetings. So in our group meetings, that's where really a lot of teaching goes on, a lot of shepherding, a lot of caring. I think most of us have a Friday or a Saturday or a Thursday night meeting where there's 10, 15 saints, maybe 20. Beyond that, it starts getting a little bit unmanageable. But where ones are going through some material. And, of course, the content of that can vary quite a bit. Maybe it's might be reading through some ministry material, might be reading through the Bible, might be answering questions. In our particular Friday night group, we're going through the Gospel of John using the footnotes. Prior to that, we went through the book of Ezekiel using the footnotes. And Some are reading a book in some of the home meetings. Others are taking excerpts from different life studies in the home meetings. But usually we have something we're going over, and one home meeting I heard about last night, a new one came, had lots of questions. Really good, because there was lots of fellowship. So a new one came with lots of questions and brought lots of fellowship. And so this is really good. This is really what, because the home meeting, this group meeting, should be mutual. Very mutual. Lots of opportunity for different ones to fellowship, to share their view, to ask questions, to answer questions. So usually there's some singing time, perhaps, some prayer, usually oftentimes at dinner. And one of the things that very, very helpful is to wrap up the meeting, end it with prayer. Some of the sweetest home meetings, three or four, someone says, a new one in particular says, hey, can you pray for this for me? That is some of the sweetest home meetings, when we just pray for the need of a new one. And so these meetings in the homes really help to perfect, nourish and perfect these ones. There's a lot of nourishing goes on, perfecting goes on, and it's very intimate. Sometimes we find out the smaller, the better. The smaller, the more intimate that can happen. We had one brother who we've been trying for a semester almost to get him to a Friday night home meeting, and at one of the homes. And he just said, I am so busy on Friday nights. So we set up. I asked him, what book do you want to study? Are you free Monday night? He says, I'm free Monday night. What book do you want to study? He said, Proverbs. So we opened up the life study of Proverbs. And the brother came, and he said, I thought I was going to come to get ethical teaching, but I got something much better. Because when you really look at the life study of Proverbs, and you see the burden of what it's really... It's an expression of Christ. Because Christ is wisdom. What is the life study of Proverbs all about? Wisdom. And so we had a special home meeting for him every Monday night when he could make it. And he was picking up a lot of key points out of about Christ as our life. Christ is the one we need. So I think flexibility is a key. But there was only five of us at this meeting. We'd have him over for dinner. Then there'd be five of us at this little home meeting. And it was just so precious. So rich, so it doesn't have to be big. Small and intimate can be very, very good. There's a lot of nourishing and cherishing that goes on in the home meetings. And recently we had another experience, and I'm just going to share a few experiences of things going on in the homes. And with another brother, he'd come sometimes. He went to the Camp Tecumseh and really was touched there. So, and he's from a particular country, another country that has a very unique type of food. And so I told the brothers who were his companions, I said, well, invite him over. We'll cook him that type of meal. Notice I said we, but by faith that my dear wife would be able to help us do that. And faith worked. she got on the internet. We found a couple of dishes and made those dishes. And I definitely helped. Sunday morning, we were out there chopping vegetables and different things and getting stuff ready before we went to the meeting. And then... So then he comes to lunch that day, and we told him what we were making. He says, oh, that's my favorite dish. I thought, oh, no. Here is the American version of that favorite dish. But he liked it. He said, he took second. He wasn't. He took multiple helpings. So it was good. It was very good. But then we just had some sweet fellowship. But see, this is cherishing. So there's a lot of cherishing can go on. But we just took care of his human need. Because he has a very hard time finding any type of dorm food. Definitely doesn't match what he's used to eating. So, but this so cherishing, so something special that this one would feel comfortable. And then we asked him what he enjoyed at Camp Tecumseh. And now I thought, you know, that was about 2 or 3 weeks before. Now, if you asked me what I enjoyed at a conference 2 or 3 weeks prior, I'd say, there was a conference, huh? Okay. Now, what was it about? But right away, he said, I enjoyed this. And he said, the Lord touched me about this. And we were able to use that then and to say, well, then how about we get together on a regular basis and go door knocking in the dorms? And he said, yeah, I'd like to do that. So it's but this is happening in the homes. This wasn't at a big meeting, wasn't even at a big home meeting. This was at a small lunch after a Lord's table meeting with just seven of us around the table. And it was just very, very sweet. So, but the things that are happening, I have a list of about 15, 16 things that can go on, that go on in the homes. But I'll just read down some of these things. But obviously nourishing, cherishing, teaching, baptisms. We're seeing a lot of baptisms in the homes. And some of them are in bathtubs. Some of them are in a cow trough. That is happens to be in the basement of one of the homes. And but baptisms in the homes. Obviously, they're group meetings. Then lunch and dinner fellowship. A lot of the saints have ones over for lunch. Students over for lunch. Students over for supper. So there's the group meeting we have on that's kind of more or less standard for a Friday night is only one of the times. I'd say multiple times during the week students are in the homes of the saints in different types of meetings, fellowships, dinners, breakfasts, and whatnot. So a lot of the saints are using their homes in multiple ways, with many coming over. It's not unusual for someone to make a phone call. Can I come over and do laundry? Sure, great, can you come and get me? Now, in Champaign, really no place is more than a mile from another place. So it's not all that hard. You know, it's not, you know, it's not like you're driving from a Northwestern down to UFC to pick somebody up to do laundry. But that goes on. Or can I come over and study? A lot of that. Can I come over and study? Can I come over and do laundry? In fact, today we're here, but somebody's in our house studying. So, but the same, this, you know, just, you know, the homes are open all the time for the saints to use, the shepherd to care. And I guess I'm just trying to get across the thought here that, as Marty mentioned earlier, appointments all the time. And the appointments are not necessarily official appointments. A lot of times they just happen. You know, someone calls up, say, I need to do this or I need to do that. And then all of a sudden, there's an opportunity to fellowship. But sometimes there is no, they just come over, you study, you eat, you study. They study, we study the things what we need to study. And then they go on their way. I know one couple, they were ready to go to bed and the students were still there studying. They said, well, turn off the lights and lock the front door when you leave. And so I don't. We figure they left sometime. I won't tell you what time, but anyway, it was student. They were on definitely on student time. Okay, they were on student time. And if you know what student time is, you know what I'm talking about. One of the families regularly has ones over just for singing time, just singing in the home meeting, just singing in the home. So they just, you know, a group will come over and they'll just sit down and they'll just sing. And this family has several instruments and some others other instruments come over and they just start singing. There's many different types of prayer meetings in the homes. And I have to emphasize and reemphasize the matter of prayer. Nothing happens without prayer. Nothing in God's economy happens without prayer. the Lord came down to see Abraham to get Abraham to pray for Lot. The Lord needed someone to pray for Lot. Who was that person? That person was Abraham. And we, you know, there's a lot, so much can be shared about prayer, but I'm just so encouraged that there's so much prayer going on in twos and threes, in fours and fives, in homes at different times. There's larger prayer meetings, smaller prayer meetings. But much prayer, much prayer going on. Then there's small appointments happening in the homes. The ministry message meetings are watched in a group in one of the homes. So that the homes really are where the church life is. I think that's really the point I'm trying to get across. The homes should be where the church life is. There should be so much going on in the homes. And see, this means everybody's involved. Everybody's involved in the church life. Everybody's involved in the God-ordained, God's organic way. Amen. And because it's happening in the homes and in a very organic, vital way. Now, let's look at point three. With the healthy condition of vitality. Abiding as branches in the Lord as the vine, because apart from Him, we can do nothing. Burning in spirit to see the Lord. Amen. Burning in spirit, serving the Lord. So, really, we need to be those who are vital. Now, if you realize once you're going to be coming to your house regularly, you're a little bit more exercised to be vital. In other words, our being vital isn't just for our own spiritual growth. Our being vital is to shepherd ones, to help care for ones, to help bear fruit. And we'll see down the very end, the purpose is to bear fruit. Amen. So, but being vital, being exercised in spirit, being revived in the morning, exercised during the day, praying with twos and threes during the day, all of these, and keeping ourselves vital. Keeping ourselves vital by being linked to one another, linked to others. Amen. Okay, point four. Being spiritual in nature, each one having something of Christ to share, such as a teaching or a revelation, doing all things for building up. Amen. So, now, in our homes, we're coming together with the purpose of building up. The purpose of coming together to have something to share, something to speak, something of life to give. But at the same time, there are times for cherishing. We have human needs. So that's why come over to study. Come over to do your laundry. Come over, you know, raid the refrigerator. You know, whatever, you know, so we're there to take care of the human needs. So there's obviously, you know, I'm going to get a basketball hoop for the front of my house because it fits. It'd be easy to do. Again, because students need exercise. So rather have them have exercise in a sanctified location than someplace else. So some of the homes have some ping pong. So ways to nourish, ways to cherish. Amen. Then to see that, because we want the students, we want ones to want to be around. So the homes are the environment that ones want to be around. And so that's really, the Lord is laboring, and He set this way, that the warm atmosphere of the saints' homes as the new place chosen by the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. So the warm atmosphere of the homes. So we need to begin to consider, Lord, how can You use our homes? What ways, how can we have ones over? Not just the Friday night group meeting, or Saturday night, or whenever it is, but when else can we have someone over? You know, one of the key points in having a home meeting is every home meeting, group meeting, should have a core group. A core group that gets together to pray and consider and fellowship over concerning those in that home meeting. In other words, the home meeting or the group meeting isn't you come together Friday night, but you've come together because you've prayed Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday night together. So an excellent opportunity to have ones over for dinner is those of your core group. The two or three or four that are in your core group of your group meeting, have them for dinner to pray. Lord, how should we carry out this group meeting Friday night? This is one of the things when we were in Austin that really, really impressed us, that everybody, all the group meetings, had a time when they got together to pray for that group meeting, to consider how was the previous one, how do we make the next one better before the Lord. So the group meetings are very, very important that they have this type of core fellowship, this type of core fellowship, this type of core prayer. To just come Friday night after Friday night after Friday night without this extra core prayer, then it's not as, the Lord just doesn't have the same way. So I just want to, you know, that's one way to have others over your home. So not only do you have a group meeting, but then we have a time together for those. For those, the core of that group, to coordinate for that home meeting. And then, again, with the home meeting, typically lots of fellowship appointments at other times. So the different ones, the group meeting, Friday night, or whenever you have that main meeting, that shouldn't be the only time you see one another during the week. We should see one another, like at the coordination time. Maybe you get together for lunch with a brother. Maybe some of the new ones. Maybe one or two take some of the new ones out during the week. In other words, this group meeting is really a kind of a church life, caring for ones in the group, not just coming, you know, once in a while or once a week, but meeting together regularly, praying, fellowshipping. So this is really comes into what Marty mentioned earlier: appointments all the time. So out of that group meeting should come appointments all the time. Lots of appointments, you know, and lots of prayer. And again, there will be a content. You'll need to consider what's the content. And what should the content be? What should the, and how can we make the meetings more and more mutual? These are all key points, but mutuality in these meetings. Now, one of the, let's go ahead, okay, point five. Having the condition of love, heeding the Lord's commandment to love one another, even as he loved us, cherishing and nourishing one another. So, these points, you know, the Lord in John 21, he said, feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep, feed my sheep. This was the Lord's burden to Peter. Feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep, feed my sheep. And Ephesians talks about nourishing and cherishing, how Christ nourished and cherished the church. So this really is in the homes. This is happening in the homes. The primary nourishing and cherishing in the church life is in the homes. And it's in the group meetings, but not just in the group meetings. It can be many, many ways, many, many times during the course of a week in the homes. But it comes out of this condition of love. In other words, Lord, you're the loving one in me. But, you know, and when we're in the enjoyment of the Lord, the love is just there for the saints. The love is there for the new ones. The love is there for the ones that we meet with all the time. The love is there for the unbelievers. So the love is expressed, and this is what the ones are going to taste and enjoy. This one brother I told you we made this special meal for. He had a different type of Christian background, but he just enjoys being with the saints. And we've seen quite a few that just enjoy being with the saints. Why? Because there's this expression of love. The saints care for them. The saints want them over to their homes. They want them to be, they want to nourish them. They want to feed them the Bible. They want to feed them physical food and spiritual food. But this love is being expressed through the cherishing and the nourishing. And really, if love is not being expressed in the homes, then really the Lord has no way to grow among us. Amen. So, as we're in previous fellowship earlier, if we're being revived every morning, then our love for the brothers and sisters, our love for the ones we're caring for, our love for the Lord's move will all be there. Okay, point six, purposing to bear fruit. Okay, amen. Let's read A, B, and C together. Discipling and baptizing ones into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, praising God and having grace with all the people, so that the Lord and those who were being saved, fulfilling the purpose of our selection, to bear remaining fruit, that the Father may be glorified. You know, I love this phrase, bear remaining fruit. Doesn't it sound so organic? Bear remaining fruit. Because we're attached to the vine. We're attached to the vine, we bear remaining fruit. So it's very organic. It's not like you've got to go out there and figure out how can I get some? How can we do this? How can we do that? But it's as we're caring for all these matters that we've been fellowshipping today, then we just bear remaining fruit. And it just is an outgrowth of the fact that we're loving the Lord, loving His Word, being revived every day, being refreshed. Then an outgrowth is bearing remaining fruit. Now, one of the ways to go, I just want to pick up a little bit a previous message here for a second. One of the ways that's been very effective for us to go is through the Bibles for America. About half of our contacts, one way or another, have come from Bibles for America distributions, direct distributions. And one of the saints is burdened to go out in the community and do some door hanging. So that's one. But I would just encourage and to do direct distribution at wherever you can. But here's the key. Follow up right away. We had distribution this week. I'm going to be tomorrow. I'll be out in Palatine, but then we have a student coordination meeting Lord's Day evening, and we're getting together to make phone calls to the ones that we contacted Tuesday and Wednesday. The quicker we make the contact, then the better. Now remember, we're scattering seed, and there's four types of seed, right? How many of those four types of seed were positive? One. So you always have to remember, I'm always going to scatter some and nothing seems to happen. That seems great. Then a week later, what happened? Others, great for a little while, and then again, it's gone. Why? They got choked. Some the rocks, some they got choked, but some 30, 60, 100 fold. So we need to constantly scatter the seed. We scatter the seed and pray, but labor. Scatter the seed, pray, labor with before the Lord, and make the phone calls. Amen. And we're we've been making the phone calls together. That way, maybe two or three persons get a negative. Somebody, this person really responded. They really encouraged. And that's typically what you're going to find. And even in my own experience, if 40 say they want a Bible study, probably four eventually will wind up coming. You know, don't think, how am I going to take care of these 40 that we just got? Make a few phone calls and realize, you know, there's the ones who go the different ways. But my encouragement is, this is one way. One way, direct distribution of Bibles for America. Another way, door hangers. Another way, just go out on the street and get a tract. Do you have a minute to talk about the Lord Jesus? That's all. Do you have a minute to talk about the Lord? And And if they'll say yes, they say no. So if they say yes, okay, then you know, let's talk. But if we're going, the Lord will bless. Then we'll, then whether around a campus or around a parking lot, we're around a mall, it doesn't make any difference. If there's people, if there's fish, we're fishing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If there's fish, we're fishing. So in any way you can fish. We just happen to be around the campus, so that's where the fish are. They're on the campus, so that's where we spend our time. But in any of the communities, Bible distributions, tract distributions, door hangers, if we're going, the Lord has to bless. We've been in this book from the Prayer of the Age, the Morning Revival Prayer of the Age, and He says, command us concerning the works of His hands, and inquire of me concerning my burden, and I will increase you with men like a flock. So this is His burden. The Lord wants this. We want it. He wants it more than we want it. So if we go, and we take care of them in our homes, this is God's ordained organic way.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, we're not going to sing at all, Kevin. We're going to sing the first verse, the second, and the fifth. You can sing them all some other time. Hey, amen. See? God said, let there be a light. And there was light. Brothers, you know, it always bothers me when we're sharing here at night when that section's dark. I can't share. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Just turn on the switch.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God said, let there be light, and there was light.
Amen.
Amen. That's one of the idiosyncrasies of an old man. Okay. We've been through now, this will be the sixth mini message today. And frankly, all aspects have been covered. So we can go home. Right? You can migrate to your bed. It's all been covered. I'm not going to give possible, I may give a couple of different verses, maybe if the Lord leads. But we've been in all of it. However, as the last message, maybe we should take a little stock, right? Cooperating with the head and coordinating with the members for the spread of the church life. Okay. In Matthew, the last verse says what? Of the book of Matthew. Altogether. Go, therefore, and disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That's just teaching them, okay. And then let's go to Mark. Last verse in the Gospel of Mark. Let's all read it. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by accompanying signs. We often get focused on the last verse in Matthew, but when was the last time you heard anything on the last verse in Mark? And now we're going to have the last verses of Luke. But don't turn to Luke, go to Acts. See, Luke also, he carried on. His gospel goes beyond what's written as the Gospel of Luke. It goes into Acts. So if you want to get the final word, you have to go into Acts. And it's Acts 1:8, which we've read already. Remember now, this refers to the Gospel of Luke. No. Acts 1, verse 8. Methinks, right? All together? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's the three synoptic gospels. And we could go on. We could have the gospel of God in Romans. The latter part ends with the church. All the saints coordinating. See? And then we could go on finally to Revelation. What happens in Revelation? The tree of life is on each side of the river, and the nations partake of the fruit month by month for the healing of the nations. And what? And what? The final verse of that hymn. Soon the local churches shall the bride become. So it's just a few little verses in the Word sums it up. But so many times, Christians, this is our background, we got the one getting people saved, but we missed part of the charge. And so the first item is our charge. But look how that charge is carried on throughout the Word. And with encouragement. In Mark, it was the Lord was what with them? What was he doing? What does it say in Mark again?
They went out and preached everywhere.
Yeah.
The Lord working with them.
Whoa, hold it. The Lord working with them. He rolled up his sleeves, took his jacket off, and worked with them.
Amen.
Isn't that marvelous?
Amen.
He just didn't say, hey, go out. He worked with them.
Amen.
Toward what end? You know, we have the prayer, thy kingdom come. And of course, in Revelation, we're sharing the gospel now, but in Revelation, the Lord comes. It was back. Anyway, our charge. So are we all clear on the charge? It's there in so many different ways. I just touched a few that happened to be there. The Lord's witnesses spread the truth of the gospel, eternal economy throughout the inhabited earth. Well, someone said before, you know, there was a testimony. When you go to Jerusalem, in essence, that's right at home. Sister said it was to her relatives, but it's here, right here in Chicago. And remember, they were charged at one point not to leave Jerusalem until they got more help in Acts 1:8. But on the other hand, it said spread the gospel in Jerusalem and then throughout Samaria, through other lands. So in essence, you have to put everything into perspective and you have to take the whole picture. When I was a young man, I went to Westminster Chapel in London. I was there on leave, and there was a great preacher preaching, Martin Lloyd-Jones. Some of the older saints will have heard that name. Most of the rest, you've never heard of him. But he was a great preacher. And in his, I went to hear him, but he wasn't speaking that night. He had a missionary conference instead. And there were some saints there, and you know what they were doing? They were promoting ABC. Afghan Border Crusade. And they were encouraging young people like me to go to Afghanistan. This was 1954. Not to fight that war, the one we're fighting now, but to fight for the Lord, to gain souls among the Pathans and Pushtus, where they have all different names now, but we were there to preach the gospel. Oh, I was stirred up. I got to go. And then I was reminded, I had a contract with a shipping company, and my father could be fined money if I left the ship, if I broke my contract. This is, you don't hear these things today. This is more than half a century ago. See? I was indentured to the shipping company, and it says right in there, if you, you know, my father had to sign it, if your son doesn't complete the indenture, you're going to get fined. So I had to settle down. And much in awe as I felt really compelled to go to Afghanistan, see, and the British had a lot of experience there at that time. I just, well, I can't really go. Wouldn't be fair to my dad, you see. Besides, I think I kind of liked what I was doing anyway. See? So, but you know, this got stirred up. But I didn't have the whole picture. I do believe at that time I could have preached the gospel of salvation quite well. But concerning the truth, I probably had, you know, justification by faith, because that was always pretty strong. See. So think about it. How many migrations have you made? I know migrations comes later, but you know, we might run out of time. How many migrations have you made? You might be surprised how many migrations you've made. When I accepted the Lord, I was meeting in the Church of Scotland, and that particular local, quote, church didn't preach the gospel. It's Presbyterian. Church of Scotland is Presbyterian. Calvinist. But they didn't preach the gospel. Even though on the steeple it said, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel of Christ." My older brother preached that once and he was never asked to preach again. They missed the point. See, but anyway, you know, when I really consecrated myself to the Lord, I had to withdraw from that environment, from that gathering of maybe some of those saints were born again. My mother was. She was there. But they were locked into a traditional, this is your quote, local church. And they're locked in. Even though my mother didn't feel the nourishment there, she was strong to stand for the Lord's interest in that congregation, you see. But I felt, I'm not getting any nourishment, no fellowship. There weren't really the twos and threes that we talked about. They weren't in the 50s and 60s, never mind the twos and threes. See? And so I had the feeling I have to go somewhere else where Christ is preached with the gospel of salvation from hell is preached. And so I migrated. Now, how many of us have been there? Some of the older ones. But maybe you grew up in an evangelical church. But I had to migrate. It wasn't easy. I felt compelled from the Lord to go to the minister, the Reverend D. Langley Seath, and say, "Mr. Seath, I'm having to leave." I was a member. And I sang in a choir before my voice broke and after my voice broke. See? It was hard. I had to say to him, "See, I can't come because you don't preach the gospel." Well, he says, "Don't be so judgmental. Don't think that we don't love the Lord." And I said, "Well, I maybe was being judgmental, you see. I can only go by what he said. He loved the Lord." But I said, "Sorry, I have to go else somewhere else." And he said, "Go ahead, young man." Well, it was a hard time, but I migrated. But I was already at sea when that happened. And so I just migrated around a whole lot of churches all over the world that were evangelical, and then they weren't one. And then the Lord showed me there is one body in the universe. Amen. Through a brother that was close to us and figures in our history, through his ministry, I realized, I've been looking for it, there is one church. And when you see there's one church, it affects your preaching. It affects your, why? It brings back what Marty had at the beginning, truth. Then we were taught how to touch our spirit, your truth and life. But unfortunately, so many of the Christians, they're happy with truth and life. and some dear saints that we were closely associated with half a century ago, right, Livingston? They were big on truth and life. But the favorite expression was, the Lord will do it. They were passive. How many of you remember the conference or the training where we had the phrase, take action? Raise your hand. One, two, three, four. I mean, that's all at five, six. Now I'm going to ask you the next one. What training was it? Was it Hebrews? River Crossers? Pardon? Jim, you think it's Hebrews? Well, it could have been Daniel. It could have been Joshua. It could have been Joshua. I was trying to remember. I can't remember. I just remember, take action. We're all going to take action, you see? And this was, I think this was before, or it was after the migrations, right? See, anyway, we'll remember later. See. Pardon? Oh, yeah, way before that. You think it was around there? Okay. Regardless, take action. You see? But here was this other dear saints that were fellow travelers with us over half a century ago. The Lord will do it. But you go through the word. So much there's take action. The verses we just read in the three Gospels, and take action. And in regards to what I'm talking about, part in Acts, as the Gospel of Luke. So saints. Pardon? What's the quote? Daniel. Actually, I said Daniel first, so. People that know their God will take action. But I was in the group where it says the people that know God will wait and see what happens. You see, so after these five messages and this the sixth one, we'll just wait here and see what happens. I think the Lord's working with us. However, what kind of action you take is another part, another story. Okay, so I migrated from the Church of Scotland, Presbyterian Church, and I went around all over the world and met with a lot of Christians all over the place, you see. But then I met with a group in the city of Glasgow. And believe me, now the ministry is reaching Glasgow once again. It was in our prayer just recently. But we were meeting there as the Lord's testimony in that city. What is that? What is that? The Lord's testimony in the city. Don't be scared. The most you can do is be wrong. The church. We were the local meeting as the local church. The Lord's testimony in that city. What are we doing here in Chicago? We're meeting as the Lord's testimony in Chicago. What are we doing in Palatine? Meeting as the Lord's testimony in Palatine. What are we doing in Waukegan? We're meeting as the Lord's testimony in Waukegan. Champaign. Oak Lawn. Who did I miss out? Glen Ellen. Don't want to leave anybody out. They'll be going home. See? Right? Ann Arbor. Streamway. We're meeting, so but you remember, it's not an end to itself. Eventually, all gets gathered up. I like this one here. It says her local expression, but the last verse says the local expression becomes what? They all add up to the New Jerusalem. Why? It's the testimony local with a universal implication and goal. Well, I could spend the whole time just on the first one. And I think that's key. Because after that migration, I migrated where? New York City. And I left my home. I gave up my job. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, so sorry. I lost my job. I gave up my home. It wasn't that way. Hallelujah. I'm going over to New York to see my fiancé. You never know how the Lord works. You see? We always think we've got to give up things. What was a job as a sailor? What's that got to do with going to meet my future intended? I gave up everything. See? We say we gave up everything for the Lord. I gave up everything for my spouse to be. I didn't give her an extra thought. My mother's crying. I'm going on the Queen Mary. I'd been at sea for 5 years. And she comes down to Southampton to wave goodbye to me. You see? And I'm saying, well, poor Ma. You know, she thought she'd never see me again. As it was, she saw too much of me later. Why? Because the world just shrunk. The airplanes went back and forth. Didn't even have to take a ship anymore. Anyway, you see? But I wasn't the least bit worried. I gave up my job. Oh, I'll get another one. It wasn't a job, it was a career. It was a career. Remember, I've been 5 years in this. I just want to tell you, we think we're giving up something, but wow. And by the way, I wouldn't have migrated for the church at that point. I hadn't a clue. I had seen the church, but I already told the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, I see the church. Now I will serve you all my life at sea. And 1 week later, he introduced me to the bait to get me out of my country, my job, my home, my relatives, and come over here. 1 week. There was a raging storm in the North Atlantic. Lord, I see the church. Hallelujah. That we all would be one. Stand one with you for your testimony. You see? On the sea. And it was a raging storm. You know, everybody else thought we were going to sink. And I'm in the third heaven. I wasn't even standing on the deck. You see? And then I said, Lord, I'll serve you all my life at sea. Well, I said, okay, you'll serve me all your life, but forget the last part. Have you had that experience? I dare say you have. I'm just articulating what you probably have been through or are going to go through. When the Lord sees something, he charges it, he backs it up. And it's hard for us at the time to realize that even when we are making moves that we think are in our interests, that maybe even the Lord has a hand in those things. However, if the Lord speaks to you, pay attention. You see, I have to tell you, the Lord had to use strong bait to get me going where he got me. Any of you that are fishermen, right? You know you have to have the right bait. And the Lord said, this fellow Barker, he's a tough case. I got to give the right bait to get him where I want him. Well, there's a fisherman, right? The Lord knew how to pick the bait. He's reeling me. Oh, my goodness. He's rolling again, see? Why didn't he use a net? No, when it comes to us as individuals, he doesn't use a net. He uses a bait and a hook, one hook, especially for us. So I migrated. Now, from that side, you said I immigrated. From here, just emigrate and immigrate. So I get to New York. Then we know something else happened in New York. I was there for 12 years. And this is key. You know, we have our enjoyment, our way, our living. But a little bit in our way, as young people in a church, there are many who have, not even as young people, as saints in a church, the elders, if they're doing their job, are having much consideration for each and every member. And at a certain point in time, the leading ones in New York, thinking in terms of the Lord's interest there, decided that they may have to invite some of these young brothers to be in the fellowship of the leadership. Believe me, we were under no... What would you say? We were under no delusion. Illusion. Delusion. Under no illusion that we were fit being in there. Yeah, maybe a little bit. See. But the elder says, okay, Brother Bill, Brother Gene, and Brother James, those three of us. He says, why don't you join us in the elders' meeting? So there's two things that go on. They meet every Sunday afternoon. Nap time. Not really for young people, but you know, time to go do something else. But hey, I'm going to be with the elders. So you're still dealing with the flesh and the soul, right? But anyway, the Lord's also speaking to you. You think you better go. So you start meeting with the leading ones. It's not fun meeting with the leading ones. Why? Because they are what, considering the Lord's interests. And they take responsibility. And that responsibility, you didn't realize it, is being passed on to you. They didn't invite you into that meeting for the good of their health. They invited you there so the Lord would be able to do something and gain you to take more responsibility. It's a little off the outline, but you see? And so you mean, oh, it's now I'm meeting with the elders. No, well, and I was very, very busy. I had a, you know, I lost my career, but I got stuck in another one. Or I get into another one. It was a wonderful career. But I didn't have time for two careers. What? Serving the Lord and being working for a big corporation. So what did it mean? I had to work overtime. Raise a family. And you know, I migrated 10 times for the corporation. I don't even count those. They were all around, the majority of them at that time were around New York City, so we could always commute to the meeting. But then in the church in New York in those days, we had the number, but we didn't do the spreading. So what happened was, one day, some circumstances happened that we don't have time, can't go into. When's my time up, Maury? Huh? Okay. I got called by the company to leave New York and go to New England, where there was nothing, no church that I knew of. But I have to say, in this case, and everybody's circumstances will be according to what's ever happening with you. In this case, it was the Lord's mercy that I got. Because right away when I got the call to move, I could really say, my wife and I could say, amen. And don't think that some of the brothers there might have thought, well, why are you going there? We need you here. I had been with the leading ones. But take my word. In hindsight, I still feel it was the Lord speaking. And I went up there to New England, and we had written, or someone had let Brother Lee know I'd gone up there, and I got a letter from him, or Carol and I got a letter from him. Dear Bill and Carol, Brother Bill and Sister Carol, here's an address from people that are subscribing to the Stream magazine. Maybe you can contact them. We did. And we found a little group who were buying some of the books secretly, not telling anybody, and trying to practice the church life according to whatever publications were then available. And you know what happened? Without getting the details, there's so many, like, it could take the whole night. But because of that, Brother Lee ends up there. And he's speaking to them. And they're meeting in a converted garage out in the country. And there's sheep and there's cattle and chickens around. And Brother Lee comes out. And he's, well, this is the Lord's Day morning after, and he kind of looks at me and he says, what are you doing here? You see? That's all you asked, and he just smiled. It wasn't a rebuke, I don't think. Maybe it was, but you see, he had a smile. What are you, you know, he was amazed, you know. And there was these 30-odd saints all meeting there. And Brother Lee shared about you are what you eat, and you're, you know, you have a spirit. You're not two parts, you're a tripartite man. And so we got some more truth. But at the same time, we were taking some action. Because through our going there, another group of people were exposed to the New Testament ministry. And this group, of course, were seeking, and so they came in. But then the Erie conferences came, and the preamble to the migrations came up, and by the second Erie conference, December of 69, we again got a word from the Lord to migrate. But that migration wasn't to spread the church life per se, it was to strengthen the church life. There was a similar migration in Texas. I don't know if you remember, several churches in Texas came together in Houston in 69. And the brothers that had gathered together from the then many, several small churches, not many, several small churches in the Midwest, had seen what happened in Texas, and they decided to give up their small localities and to come together for a strong church life, and the Lord gave them a way to go to Akron. They all had to give up their localities, you see? And for many of them, that was hard. I'll tell you, for me it was hard, but there was no question I had to go. And I was not even meeting with the brothers. I was only a visitor at those conferences. But we felt we had to go. So we had 1 year in New England, and then migrated to Akron. And believe me, on that one, it was a little different. What was the bait? Strong church life. The view of having a wonderful, strong church life instead of battling in difficulty in small places where the untransformed dispositions really got in the way, you see? Well, we found out when you went to Akron, there was just more of the untransformed dispositions. So if you ever migrate because of dispositional issues, sorry. That won't solve them. Well, maybe it will. Maybe the Lord will get through to you, you see? But basically, that's there. Then there was a need to raise up another church there. This was another migrant to raise up another church. There had been a small church in Cleveland, and we went up there in 73 to raise up another church. For what reason? For the Lord's interests. That was relatively easy, because only 30 miles up the road. But what I'm saying, we took action. And we didn't coordination. There was coordination with some of the co-workers at that time. Why? Because you have to remember, when you see the church, you have to realize there is one body. And as there's one body, how many works are there? Well, you'd wonder if you look around you, the things in Christendom. One body, one work. And so, you need that fellowship. Now, when you go through this this way, you know, we had our enjoyment. Well, we've covered a lot on the enjoyment, right? The tree of life. I'm not going to go back to Genesis. That when the Lord told Adam and Eve to replenish the whole earth, he also put them in front of the tree of life for their sustenance. He was the supply, just as in Matthew, he was working with them. Here he was working with them, what, metabolically? From the tree of life, they just had to eat of the tree of life, and I was working metabolically in their being. What, for subduing and, what, taking over the earth for the Lord's interests. Okay, then in our way, planting of the church trees, you know, the Lord says, I am the vine. You're the branches. Well, what does that mean? If you look at a vine, it goes all over the place. And eventually in Revelation, it's on each side of the river. So what is that? Life. The river of life and the vine are there. What doing? Nourishing the nations. A testimony. The reality of the kingdom of heaven. Expressed through the churches. Hastening the Lord's return. So that's why we're planting churches. Why? Because we're in the vine, and we're spreading all over. But that part of the vine migrates, but it's still attached to the vine. We had a lot of migrations where the migrations were not attached to the vine. So you have to, if you're going to migrate, you have to realize that migrating is part of the vine. A branch doesn't, disassociate itself from the vine and walk away and do something. Why? It's going to die. And we've had that experience. Oh, I want to migrate, so I'll go here. And for some reason, nothing, you've seen it, nothing happens. There needs to be the connection. What is that? And that's the mutual fellowship in the work together. There was a little thought. passed through my head there on this matter of migrating. You may say, I want to migrate. But in the fellowship, you may not get a chance. I gave you a few examples of some of my migrations. You think tonight, before the Lord, how many migrations you've made and for what reason. Several of these migrations I made were for my benefit. What? So I could grow in the truth and the reality. Were any of them mistakes? I'll leave that to the Lord. See? Because when you look over, when you can kind of stand back and get what an omniscient point of view, which we can't really do, only the Lord can, it's funny how, or marvelous how things that you've done, the Lord even can utilize it. Or makes it work. Okay. So from Cleveland, I got another call, this time from the corporation, to come to Chicago. Wasn't an easy move. There was a lot of fellowship. And there was also a lot happening in the recovery at that time. But we felt fellowship with the brothers to move. Looking back, I think I can say amen. See? I say I think. Because there were so many things happening and going on in those days. See? Why would I leave a place where, you know, we doubled the number of saints in Cleveland in a year, less than a year. Doubled. Titus, by the way, was not there. He was in Taiwan at the time. Few young brothers, myself included. I wasn't quite as young still. But it doubled. And we had opposition. We had a person come in the meeting once and told us, I was here before you. And I forget what happened, but we had a little table, the Lord's table there, and the cup had been taken away, and I just felt this man was trying to deceive the young saints there, giving them, he was here before him. His name was Rosen something, an older man. And I hit the table, and the table split apart. Right down the middle. How are you? And I was surprised. See? But the whole thing changed. See? Whoever the carpenter was, he must have had the grain of the wood running the wrong direction. You know, you do that wood chop, it looks like you're strong, but you're not really. I hit it. The table split. Anyway, and everything quietened down, and everybody sat up and took notice. You see? And the church went on. Well, we need some recovery work there today. But anyway, see? So then on to Chicago, and then, you know, we can tell stories about Chicago, you know, till the Lord comes. But I had another call while in Chicago. Another opportunity to migrate. And the Lord said, no. Again, don't have time to go into the detail. That was it, just no. But Lord, no. I didn't fellowship with anyone but that one. I just knew. I think I fellowshiped with my wife, did I? Yeah. No. Just clear no. No point in going bothering anybody. It was just no. And as I said, there was many things going on. It might have been nice to go somewhere else. So, but charge, enjoyment. Without the enjoyment, you might lose it. Our way is tree planting. But also, you know, here, we gather here tonight. There's many younger brothers here tonight. Should be joining the leading ones. But you know, even if you don't join the leading one, it doesn't mean that you don't have a portion right in the locality you're in. You know, I might say, okay, we've been through this now. Everybody go migrate. What happens to the lampstand in Palatine if we all migrate? Never mind what happens to the lampstand in Chicago if we all migrate. So there is also the need for those who would stand on the ground and take care of the Lord's testimony. That's why we need the fellowship. I don't want to throw names around, but, you know, a couple of things have come up over the years, and people have gone to Brother Lee as the last word, right? Should I do this? And Brother Lee said, what about your church? There was a necessity for that one to stay there. So you really have to go to the Lord. You might best go somewhere else for the Lord's interest. You might best stay for the Lord's interest. Eventually, only the Lord knows. See? Okay. Our living, sojourning, following pattern. Well, this concerns, we look to, and we're not going to go to the verses, but Abraham's experience. You know, Abraham had a clue what was going on. But he realized one thing. The Lord had made a promise. But he also had to go somewhere. Now, I looked at that. I don't know how many have this same feeling. It said, in that one of those verses, that Abraham knew not where he was going. But the Lord told him to go to, what? Where? Huh?
Not knowing whither.
But he also knew where he was going. Canaan. Didn't he? I'll show you the land. Well, and he ends up muddling around in the Negev. You know, the Negev is a desert, but it's all on the south end of what is Canaan. See, eventually, the Lord clarifies to him. When I say, you know, he had an idea where he was going. He had to head in a certain way. But he had to walk in faith. But that's not the point. We are walking in faith even now. See? Unless you have determined that you have another goal. And so the whole principle of the tent, living the life of the altar and the tent, what's that mean? Just totally focused on the Lord's interests. Now, I think I sold a lot of houses with all those moves, so it was equivalent to a tent. I never made any money. Why? Because I was always paying real estate fees. And the company for most of the time, the company didn't pay for them. You made your move and made out best you could. Now, nowadays, they got soft and they pay the fees. But nowadays, anyway, you sell your house now, you might lose your shirt entirely. So, you know, you never know. But if the Lord calls you, you have to move out in faith. In essence, offering all that we are and all that we have, and we have a verse in Psalm 43:4 and Romans 12:1. What's Romans 12:1? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's the church life, isn't it? If you're in the church life, you realize you are a living sacrifice. And then see, migrating, which mostly we've been sharing about, migrating to spread the church life. But many of my migrations were not spreading the church life, they were for my benefit. What we have to realize is those migrations where it's for the Lord's interest, those are the ones that count. Not that you don't gain something. See, I'm coming back and contradicting myself. Not that the other ones didn't gain something. Why? Because without those migrations, the Lord never would have got me in a position where I could migrate for his interest. When I came to New York, I was migrating for my interest. The gaining of a young lady. I had no intention of giving up the sea. And, you know, my wife's get tired of hearing this until I met her. How many of you have that experience? But I have to tell you, we met through following the Lord, through my following the Lord concerning his testimony. That's how we met, back in that old city of Glasgow, where we didn't know what we were doing. And we were waiting for the Lord to do something. We saw the church, and the Lord will do it, somewhere or another. Well, he did. But eventually, we had to take action. So we get in that matter of migrating to spread the church life from city to city. Well, I put in another one. Even within the metro area, there is migrations. And so, saints, don't be so discouraged. Here in this metro area, we've had 6 or 7 migrations. Not recoveries of churches. We got one that has to be recovered yet. But not the recovery of churches, but the actual raising up of churches. Because some brothers here, see, here we got 2 brothers in the Palatine. Where did you come from? Yeah. They came from Chicago originally. Not all. There were some saints here from Waukegan. Some came, they touched the church in Chicago, but they were raised up there. Oak Lawn. Some brothers from here, and some brothers were gained right where they were. Streamwood, where did they come from? Chicago. Glen Ellen, where did you come from, Ellen? So don't think I'm standing here telling you. We weren't sitting here waiting for the Lord to, maybe the Lord will do it. Yes, he did do it. But he did it because we had the faith to take action and come here. The saints who came from California in the first place, they had to take action to plant the seed here to begin with. 40-odd saints. Exactly 40 years ago this coming August. See? Praise the Lord. Amen. And there was many raised up here. But this is the thing that concerns me. We're raised up here, and we realize most of us came out of the early migrations. Most everybody in the early days did migrate from somewhere. Jim and Betty, they migrated from Metro Los Angeles, you see. But some of us had to migrate, and they probably migrated from a denomination or the Brethren, I forget. See, I migrated from the Brethren, which, by the way, is a good place to migrate from. But it's easier to migrate from the Brethren into the church than it is from other things, because they saw something. And so the ministry and brotherly sharing, what, built on it. And we saints migrated from all over the country. Silly little town of Akron, Ohio, 350,000 people. It was no man's land. How many saints migrated there from all around the Midwest because of the ministry? They saw something, and they migrate out of towns like South Bend, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Johnstown, Buffalo. Why? Because they saw something and they got charged and they were willing to drop everything and come. That was a migration, but not the migration we're talking of here, but it was necessary to bring them in to get what? Perfected. You get the truth. So what Marty started off this morning with, truth and life here, and the other two, Marty, were increase and spreading. Truth and life, but if you stay with truth and life and miss this, the Lord has no way. So when he said, we have to go, ahora, see, mañana no, ahora sí. But in the fellowship and according to our measure. And we also shouldn't pull the pillars out from under the locality we're in. He also talked about the radio. Maybe I'm wrong, but I do believe it's time to consider the radio again. But to do the radio, that's going to be hard. That takes time. We did it before, right, Jeff? That was time. That was a challenge. We know going to the colleges is the best way. Why? Because they don't have all that Christianity tradition to get over. There's no baggage. Less baggage. None. Less baggage. See, you're a little different because you've been, what? You grew up in the churches, right? But for people that grew up in Christianity, this is hard to make that switch. You even read that CRI thing. They're still believing man's a two-part. He's flesh and soul. They don't have any realization or don't want to consider that we're tripartite. But I don't know where the problem is, because in Genesis it says we were created after the Lord's image. And he says, let us make man in our image. And what is the image of God? Triune. Tripartite. Anyway, We're not going to get in a big fisticuff fight about it. We'll go on exercising our spirit, and they'll probably be exercising their spirit, but they won't call it that. Well, really, Christians exercise their spirit, but they won't call it that. Of course, a lot of them don't exercise their spirit, and us included some days. So, see? So saints, how about this migration business? The spreading. The spreading can also be, and the gaining ones can also be through the radio. That's a key. I don't think that was a loose thought that came there, Jose. But we hold it to the Lord. But we may have to take action. And some things may have changed. Where, by the way, we were on the airwaves and we got cut off. So it wasn't that we didn't try. But Christianity got the station scared and they shut us down. It's a few years now. So it may be time to take another look. And of course, there's many other ways. So then we come on, and I've covered this already, our fellowship for the furtherance of the gospel. And there's these verses you can read at your leisure, but I just remember the case of Paul and Barnabas. Their going out was a matter of fellowship. And later on another trip, there became a contention because somebody wanted to do something and not stay in the oneness. The vine is the vine, and we're branches. I'm not the vine, you're not the vine, but we are the vine. Because it's hard to distinguish the branches. Have you ever gone to a field where all the vines are? It's hard to distinguish what is the branch and what's the vine. But if you know what I mean, the Lord is the vine. Amen. And he's the branches. Amen. And we're just the branches, but we're also the vine. Because we're in and attached to the vine. But remember, he's the life source. Amen. And it's one body. And it's just one work. And hallelujah. And ultimately, it's on both sides of the river. What? The river of life. That God has given us the full supply and the full way to go on for the spreading throughout the earth. In the early days, when Jim was in Anaheim, in Eldon Hall, just prior to the migrations, there were very few strong testimonies in the country. There were a couple. And it was almost... It was palpable, the anticipation of migrating across the country. Jim, you were straining at the leash, at the bit. You know, I used to work with horses, young man on a farm. We worked with Clydesdales, no tractor. And they were straining at the bit. The young ones wanted to go. We had to put an old mare into the team to hold the young ones back because they'd be beat. By noontime, they'd be dead. And the old mare would hang back and they had to pull her and she'd slow them down and then they'd all get teamed up as a team, and they'd pull the plow in dead center, and it was great. You could make a straight furrow. But initially, when the young ones, they wanted to do all the crazy things, you see, but fortunately, we had the old mare yoked in with them, one, the experienced one within them, and she worked with them, and they all the noses were in a line eventually. By the end of the day, she was pulling them a little bit, because they were kind of... because they'd used too much energy in the beginning. But it was palpable, the migration. Everybody was, we got to migrate. But at that time, our Lord's wisdom says, hold on, there's a time. So we have to be ready. Just get out migrating, isn't that it? There has to be something built into you, something the Lord constituted into you, where your migrating will be in coordination and a fellowship. Should everybody migrate? No, I can't say that. As I said, there's still pillars, there's still church life to take care of. Ones that are being raised up still have to stay there. There were some saints didn't leave at that time, Los Angeles. See? Should they have? Only the Lord knows. That's why we have to stay out of that realm. The Lord knows. But if the Lord's talking to us, why don't we bring it up for fellowship? Today, the co-workers have published that there are several cities they would like to take this year, 2010. Right? If the Lord talks to you about those Don't put it aside. Consider it. It's possible, you know, in Acts, without going to the verse, the reason there were so many Christians scattered all over the place is because of persecution came in. Now, was that because they wouldn't migrate? Well, don't say that. But certainly, the persecution caused them to scatter. And naturally, having been attached to the vine, their scattering appeared outwardly to be a scattering, but actually what it was a spreading. Still attached to the vine. What? Preaching. Bringing Christ and dispensing Christ wherever they went. So in other words, what was a negative thing by human eyes was a positive thing for the Lord's eyes, and he wasn't judging anybody that hadn't migrated. It was just what happened. You see? The Lord used it. Whether he occasionally, you know, omniscience and omnipresence, all these things are, you know, we don't get involved in right now. But it was all in the Lord's hand. And out of that, the gospel went across the land. Later on, that it would be what? There would be a sort of a missing and of the high gospel. That's another story. But we have been recovered by the Lord, and we are here. We've been somewhat perfected in the truth and experience of life. Now, again, we should be continuing. It's not like we haven't done it. Yes, we have moved and we have spread, but there's more need. And a good part of it is right here in this city and in this metro area. And there may still be churches in the metro area that need strengthening. So don't feel that you have to go to Timbuktu. You know where that is, right? North Africa. You see, you don't have to go to Timbuktu. If the Lord tells you to go there, you better go. Okay. Touching the Lord as the head in prayer to know his desire and leading. And then lastly, fellowshipping with the church in oneness as members of the body for our covering and for the Lord's interests. Amen?
Amen.
Can we all take this to the Lord? Day by day, as things unfold, as there's more fellowship, especially as the places that the co-workers have identified as cities that we would like to spread to. Amen. Thank the Lord for all the sharing in these 5 and 6 messages. Amen.
So we have about 5 or 10 minutes. If some have not yet had a chance to respond, you can respond right now just for something short. Anything that was shared today, from the personal revival to the 2s and 3s to preaching the gospel to opening your home and to this last matter of the spreading of the church life. So we have about 5 or 10 minutes. If you'd like to come up quickly and share something, that would encourage us all.